Hi, this is Norm Augustinus. I'm sorry I missed your call. After tone, leave your name and number. I'll get back to you.
Hi, Norman. I hope you are happy and well when you get this voice message. Norm, when I was a kid, my parents took me to a park. While we were at the park, we met a man that was giving away box kites. Box kites are not like regular kites. Regular kites are made of paper, and they are shaped like a diamond. Box kites look like long-stemmed, rose-filled, flower delivery boxes. Box kites are rectangles. Their frames consist of paper, a handful of framing sticks, and some wooden cross members. Norm, the man that gave me the box kite, also gave me 5,000 feet of kite string. It was a great surprise. My dad figured we'd eat a couple of hot dogs, but the outing turned out to be so much more. Whenever I go to parks, I always wear hot pants, heels, and a halter top. I have enormous melons and succulent pussy lips. I like fresh air to be able to swirl around my sweaty jugs and around my bubbling cunt and crap hole too. Norm, I didn't know much about box kites. I was told by the man that gave me the kite that box kites work because of something called Bernoulli's principle. All I knew was that I got the box kite and string for free. Norman, my mom and dad went in search of hot dogs and cokes, and while they were away, I launched my box kite. The moment I let the box kite go, it immediately went high into the sky. Kite string was coming off my string spool super fast. I eventually lost sight of the box kite. All 5,000 feet of string was gone. I was holding on to an empty spool of string. People at the park marveled at my box kite flying skills. Everyone standing near me was looking up. The box kite really pulled, and sometimes I had to use two hands to hang onto the spool of string. I didn't want to lose the box kite. Norm, while I was standing there clutching onto the plastic-handled string dispensing spool, I saw something sliding down the string attached to the box kite. At first, I thought it was a bird. And then I wondered if I was seeing a small meteorite. But it was none of those things. Norman, a giant 14-inch long dildo, was sliding down the kite string toward me at a high rate of speed. But how? Why? The pervert that gave me the box kite had rigged the box kite with a complex battery-powered dildo release circuit. There was also an antenna attached to the box kite. When the dude that gave me the box kite pressed a button on a handheld transmitter, it released the mammoth dildo from inside the box kite, and the dildo slid down the 5,000 feet of kite string. Norman, the dildo eventually crashed into my delicious perfumed belly, causing my hot pants, brassiere, halter top, and crotchless panties to shake apart and fall off my sweaty body. Norm, because the colossal dildo was made of super flexible rubber, the jarring impact of the dildo caused the fuck stick to form fit itself between my legs, and the monster head of the gargantuan dildo went into my tight hungry fuck hole. Norman, I heard a beeping sound as the box kite dildo inched its way deep into my juicy fuck hole. As the dildo moved in and out of my hot, cum can, I came. And as I came, I moaned. My eyes were rolled back into the back of my head, and my mouth was open. I was naked and trembling while vaginal juices dripped from my swollen pussy. Norman, after my 50th or 60th orgasm, I blacked out from orgasm overload. When I regained consciousness, I saw that two paramedics had rigged an electric winch to a tree, and they were extracting the Herculean box kite dildo from my needy gash. Another paramedic was prying my fingers free from the kite string, and another paramedic was wiping down my pussy and legs, using a wet wipe in order to remove the intimate drippings that had leaked out of my hairy box and crap hole. Norm, another man clutching onto my destroyed panties with something that looked like a salad tong, looked at me, and he said,
"One time when I was a kid, I was leaning against a wall in our living room. My parents rented the apartment. I was performing a holiday stage play that I had written. Both my folks were sitting on the couch watching my performance. While I was singing, 'All I Want for Christmas Is You,' I felt a sudden sharp jab to my asshole. And then before I could do anything about it, I felt something long and round fill up the entire length of my large colon. It was a dick. I was being cornholed. I was just a kid, man. While I was pinned to the wall, in a state of shock, my pop ran to my aid. What my dad found out was that someone had gutted the insides of our living room wall outlet from the other side of the wall. Our next door neighbor had attached hinges to the wall outlet cover in our living room so that he could cram his raging penis through the wall outlet when my ass was in perfect alignment over the outlet cover. My father yanked me off the cock, and he slammed the wall outlet door on the dude's penis. Our insane neighbor got pissed, and he dove head first through the drywall separating our apartments, and he threw a cup of warm piss into my mom's face, and then he cornholed my pop. It was a bad scene, man. I tried to continue on with my Christmas play, but it was no use. Someday I will find this fucker, and I will kill him.
Norm, I am telling you this story in the hopes that it helps your female listeners. Girls, be careful if someone gives you a free box kite while you are walking around a park. You could take a monstrous, 14-inch long dildo to the minge. I did. One last thing I forgot to mention. Lucky for me, a homeless woman dragging a garbage bag behind her gave me a pair of silver sequin shorts. There were large openings cut into the rear end of the shorts so that the ass cheeks of the wearer would jut out. There was a doorknob-sized black power fist medallion sewn on the shorts where a waist button would normally be. The woman also pulled out a heavily soiled leaking water bra that stunk of jism from her garbage bag so that I could walk around the park. I walked bow-legged, and I looked like a ball whore, but at least I got to mosey around the park, eat a hot dog, and drink an ice-cold Coke with my mom and dad. Now I must go. Norm, I phone you all the time, but you never call me back. What gives? Can you please excuse me? I want to vibrate my clitoris and fuck hole while I smoke weed, tap my bong, dry hump a pillow, and come while I lie atop my dead grandmother's whiskey, semen, and piss-stained mattress. Bye.
End of messages.
He wishes he could have killed his grandmother. His mother says everything he touches turns to shit. He's been to jail, spent 24 hours in a mental institution, and unsuccessfully tried to kill himself 3 times. And now, live via the internet, Norm Augustinus.
Pardon me. Just rolling a cigarette, fuckstick. I'll be right with you. So if you hear this noise when I'm making this recording, listen. You might hear that sound. That's me laying in a reclining sex chair. It's not a joke. It's true. It's a sex chair, and it's a chair I made years ago when I had a fucking stick welder. Stick welders are welders that you put this, it's like a stick, like a long straw, and you stick it into the fucking opening of the this clamp thing, and you can move it around. You can stick weld steel. And I built this chair for a woman I had because she only had one leg at that time. I haven't seen her for years, but she had one leg. She used to date this guy, and she got the other leg missing in a fucking motorcycle accident. She lost her leg, and I built this sex chair for her because it felt funny for me to have sex with her. It felt funny for me to fuck her with the one stump. And then later she gives me a magazine. This is the truth. And it was called Stumpy or Stump Magazine. It was magazine, but I don't remember if it was Stump or Stumpy. And it was like a fetish magazine for people who were into fucking stumpies, for fucking stumped women. And that's what she was. She was had a stump. But it never felt right to me, so I built this sex chair using a stick welder and steel so that when I was on top of her, and it had this area that I could pack it with this fabric, I could pack the area where her leg should have been, and it felt like I was fucking a full two-legged woman, because I want both legs in there. I want to feel both legs. When you only have one leg, when you're fucking somebody with just one leg and the other one's a stump, when they start to get turned on, at least this is for me, when they start to get turned on, they get goose pimples or goose pumps or whatever you call them, those little things that pop up from their skin. And they go in little tiny, like, little tiny mountains, little tiny volcanoes, if you looked at them in a microscope. I know better than to answer that phone. I'm not answering it. But they were called goose pimples. Without that other fucking leg, I didn't feel right. When I was laying on top of them, I couldn't feel the goose pimples. I used the goose pimples, at least I do, like a sort of braille system. I can read the goose pimples because I'm such a finely attuned fuckstick in myself, my fuck artistry, that I use the goose pimples to be able to read what the goose pimples are saying, like Braille, like a blind person feeling out Braille to read something. Going on the elevator, they put their fingers out. It's the same kind of thing. I could feel the kind of the Braille of her legs. But I used to pump this woman, so I built this chair, and I thought, what a waste, what a waste. Why aren't I using... Why did I say that twice? What a waste. Why aren't I using the sex chair that I built for this girl years ago? I don't know what happened to her. Believe it or not, somebody told me that she may have lost the other leg too. It was like she came onto this planet and was supposed to be tortured with one leg and then the next leg. Maybe she'll lose an arm next. I don't really know. But I built this sex chair, and it's the greatest thing to do these recordings. I'm lying on my back. And where I had the drink area for the sex chair, I put the TRS-80. The TRS-80 is a Tandy tape recorder, a Radio Shack tape recorder that I make these recordings with. Honest to God, I make it. I don't know if it's an Electrete microphone, a dynamic microphone. I don't know what it is. It doesn't require, I don't think it requires a battery. I've never put a battery in it. And I make these recordings with a Tandy cassette recorder. It's got a big red button. You can push the red button. And I make them with this. That's how hard... I don't know why they call it podcasting. It's just recording. I'm making a fucking recording. That's how hard these recordings are for me. Then I transfer it digitally. But I never, ever really use any kind of high-end thing. And I saw this chair, and I thought, I'm going to use that again. I'm going to use it. I'm going to put the player there, the recorder there. I'm going to lay back. I'm on my back right now. It's great. I got my fucking doobies out. I got some roaches out. I got some Nag Champa incense burning. I got my fucking Glock nearby. I always keep my Glock nearby, and it's got a thing called a kit, which is highly illegal. Can't have a Glock kit. It shoots 1,000 rounds a minute. It's like this, like something if Christ was to come back down out of the sky, he'd have a Glock with a Glock kit in each hand. I'm telling you, that's how powerful this is. It's just an unbelievable, powerful, fast, I hate to say machine gun. It's quicker than that. It's just spooky. I always have my Glock with me when I do this. I don't want somebody to come down. I'm in a basement right now. Does somebody come down here? And I got no pants on. I took my underpants off. I always take my underpants off because I don't want my cock to overheat, because that's about 90% of what I am. I don't want my cock to overheat. I don't want to overheat. I want my whole thing to be like emotion lotion and shit. Like, wow, man, I'm fucking moving. I'm fucking limbo. I'm like fucking some kind of Gumby or something. I'm that bendable, that flexible. I don't want anybody to come down here and surprise me, and they could because I've done a lot of shit. Suddenly surprise me, I'm laying on a sex chair I made for a woman with a stump, and I'm on a sex chair, and a fucker cuts me in half or something. The fucker's got a machete and slices or cuts me right in half or cuts my head off. I want to be prepared to do some administration duties with my fucking Glock with a Glock kit, so... That's how I do make these recordings. I just thought I'd say that. Someone had written me and said, what's that sound I hear in the back? Just like that. That's the joints of the sex chair that I made for this girl that had the one fucking leg. I tried to pump her on her own. Just her. I tried to just pump her. We took her to the bed. And the whole thing is goofy. You know how you tell them to bring their legs back? This is what I do. I always say, pull your legs back as I'm getting ready to crank them, as I'm getting ready to fuck them with my Abraham Lincoln log splitter. That's my goddamn dick. It's that powerful. I just split them the fucking half with my Abraham Lincoln log splitter. Abraham Lincoln was really powerful, and he could do that. Like one swing, he could split a 6-foot goddamn piece of tree in half in one swing. He just was a very powerful guy. Big shoulders, little tiny waist. It was incredible. And that's when I got my Abraham Lincoln log splitter. And I don't want to be on this thing fucking splitting her in half. And when I'm splitting her in half on the bed, I didn't feel right. That stump would come swinging up. I'd say, pull your legs back so I could get maximum penetration. And I always tell everybody this. If you happen to come to my house, you're a fucking girl from Ireland or some shit like that. You've been on a ship for 38 days or 28 days to get to my house. I'm going to say the same thing to you. Pull your legs back so I get maximum penetration. You always want maximum penetration, or stabbing them, like impaling them. It's something in a man's mind. You got to go deep, or the deep as you can go. So when I told her to pull her legs back, I can still see this in my head, man. It's sort of embarrassing to me to even say it. The stump didn't work right. It was more like an obstruction than pulling the legs back. The stump was right there. I could have taken my arm and held onto the stump like I was driving a fucking car and my arm was on the armrest. It was like that. I got my arm on the armrest, which was her stump. I'm trying to go deep. I couldn't take it seriously, and I realized that because of all the pain she had taken, all the torment, all the torture of losing her leg with this guy, her ex-boyfriend on a motorcycle, that she really... I was never going to satisfy her. And you're going to say, what do you mean you're never going to satisfy her? It's just intercourse, Norm. The international language of love and all that shit and fucking keep on trucking, that kind of stuff. The fact that she lost her leg and could keep enduring over that kind of pain means there's never going to be a fuck above that amount of pain, her threshold for pain, the pain that she endured losing that leg psychologically and physically. There was never going to be anything that was going to surpass that, ever going to be bigger than that. And I wanted my cock, my Abraham Lincoln log spiller, to be bigger than that, to be bigger than the event of her losing her leg, but I realized it was never going to happen. All I basically had was a one-legged fucking peg-legged monoleg person, carbon-based unit, and a goddamn armrest when I was fucking around in a bed when I told her to pull her legs back as far as I could go. And I just realized that it was never going to happen the way that I imagined in my mind. As a man, you're going to have certain things hit to really pull you into this whole thing, this whole fucking obtuse, bizarre scene. I mean, think about this bitch. Think about the woman. In her lifetime, the chick that you've turned into, whatever you've turned her into, try to get her to pump her, she's going to pump out 26,000 pounds of fecal matter by the age of 81. I read this in Psychology Today years ago, and I still have it on my clipboard. I've got a big fucking cork boards all over the house, and this is one of the things on it, on top of another 1,000 other things. But they'll pump out 26,000 pounds of fecal matter by the time they're 81. Now, let's try to imagine that. You're with your bitch, you finally found her, you got a marriage certificate, and being between the two of you, which is highly embarrassing, between the two of you, the both of you will put out over 50,000 fucking pounds of fecal matter while you're married to her, if you stay married to her to the age of 81. Well, look what we done. Look what I got here, man. Looks like we made it. My fucking Barry Manilow song, you're singing that. Looks like we made it. 50,000 pounds of fecal matter is making it. And the same thing with a woman in regards to urine. A woman will let out 14,000 gallons of urine by the time they're 81 years old. Now, if you're with her, the two of you idiots, the two of you fucking big goddamn nutty out-of-control consumers, pissed out 28,000 gallons of urine, 50,000 pounds of fecal matter. I mean, what is there to love there? And if they're on their period, and had their period in her lifetime, she put out 600 pounds of maxi pads and tampons filled with fucking blood. Looks like we made it. What a beautiful summer day. We'll come back and go away. Barry Manilow, looks like we made it. Or he's singing Old Mandy. And then I later read that fucking Old Mandy was really written as Old Randy because Barry Manilow's a goddamn fruit. And it was Old Mandy, not Old Mandy, really screwed me up for a while because I liked that song when it came out. So 50,000 pounds of fecal matter, you and your whore. You're going to a restaurant, you're going to some fucking nightclub, you're going to some hot dog place. Just chalk it up, man. You got another fucking 30,000 pounds of fecal matter that you'll dump out before you both die. I would use that as a fucking clock. Here's the clock, here it is. Forget days, months, times, and years, all that shit. Just fucking weigh your lifetime in pounds of shit. 26,000 pounds of fecal matter. If you're with a bitch and you've been keeping track of the shit she's let out, and it's at 25,000 pounds, know in your heart that she's soon going to pass over. This consumptuary fucking nonstop eating machine, she's going to pass over. Well, how long does she have to go? Well, she's at 25,600 pounds of fecal matter. They only put out 26,000 or 27,000 pounds. I expect her to die any goddamn day. And I wanted her so fucking bad. I wanted something that creates 25,000 pounds of fecal matter and fucking 500-600 pounds in maxi pads. I wanted this so goddamn bad I could taste it. That's what people do. That's what you're doing. That's what people are in love with. When I see a woman, I say that to myself. I say, holy shit, she's beautiful. I like her. She's thin, size fucking 3. She seems dainty, tight fucking anus, tight fucking pussy, all that stuff that you want, that you need. And then I think, man, 25,000 pounds of fecal matter, what the heck the fuck is that going to cost me in groceries? You get on AI right away and you ask that question. How much do I have to pay to keep a woman alive till she's 81 years old? And you'll find out you're fucked. You're not going to win in any way. You gotta come up with hundreds of thousands of dollars to feed your fuck who pumps you off and you can blow your load in too. There it is, your living walking dolly, 50 fucking thousand, 60,000 fucking pounds of tampons and maxi pads. That's nothing. I read this the other day in a magazine I got called, the magazine I get is called Steer Inc. And Steer Inc. is a subscribe by invitation only, and it has these unbelievable stories in it that you'll never read anywhere else. Truth stories, it's a periodical, comes out once every 3 months, I think. But these are done by scientists, and they're talking how, with regards to a female, that how long they have been, this is the truth. 15 million pillows are dumped annually every year in America. 15 million pillows, and it's being dumped by women. Why? Because they pump the pillows. They hump the pillows. They've been humping pillows since they were a fucking kid, and they just carry on through adulthood because there it was. There's the pillow. Like, you and I look at a fucking pillow and we think, well, I'm exhausted. I just put a 12-hour day in, and all I did was make 100,000 screws on a screw machine in a 12-hour shift at some fucking factory. Well, I just want to put my head down there. When she looks at a pillow, she thinks, I'm going to fuck it. Look at that pillow. I'm going to fuck it. I'm going to fuck the pillow right now. And that's what they look at it. And they dump, honest to God, 15 million pillows every year because they fuck these pillows. They're foam pillows. They absorb all their pussy juices. They pack the pillow between her legs or on top of it, pumping away. I mean, that's disgusting, isn't it? Can you imagine? It's 5 a.m. across America, and if you could take all the roofs off all the houses, you'd see all these chicks' dimpled, puckered asses, big, giant, bulbous asses, cottage cheese-like asses. They're all pumping pillows at 5 or 6 a.m. before they go to work, and then you see them at work, and you have the balls to say, how was your day? You don't fucking care how her day was. She's saying, how was your day? You're saying, how was your day? I know what your fucking day was. You just pumped a goddamn pillow off because they dump 15 million pillows that they pump every year. They dump them because why? Because they smell like pussy. And that's the truth. You'll find out one day when some chick says, so you say to her, can I stay the night over? And she hasn't planned. She hasn't deodorized a pillow. She hasn't put 5 fucking pillowcases on it to mask the stink. She hasn't put a pine tree in there from her fucking rearview mirror of her car to mask the stink. I've had people do that. One time I slept at a chick's house. Honest to God, there were 2 or 3 of those fake pine trees. They're cardboard. They look like a pine tree, and you hang them from the rearview mirror of your car. She had filled this thing with all kinds of pine trees, which means she had been fucking it, and that would show a flaw in her character. That would show that she was lonely. That would show that she was thinking of a man or dreaming of a dick or wishing she was getting bumped. They could never admit some shit like that, but they dump 15 million pillows annually smoked with a pussy juice. They dump these pillows. Somehow they can make this shit. They extract the oil out of it. I don't know what. Make some kind of household oil from the pussy juice in these pillows, but that's what they're doing. These are the things I talk about sometimes because I want you to be aware not to put bitches on pedestals in any way. I want to show you how goddamn dangerous they are and what's really going on. And you're around one. You want one. You physically are pursuing one so much so that you're willing to get a license for this woman, a marriage certificate for this chick that's going to dump out 26,000 pounds of fecal matter by the time she's 81. I got to adjust my chair here. I got a little handle on it. This little fucking, it's not really a chair. It's like a reclining thing that I built for this girl. Her name was, started with a P, and I know she listens to these, but it's true. And that's what we used to do. Now I just did a fucking whole lid of weed and I'm feeling pretty good. You're going to say, what's a lid of weed? A lid of weed is about, it's like a 1 ounce. And it's how it was measured was you fill the lid on a Prince Albert tobacco can. The stuff you would, smoking tobacco, you'd fill that lid with seeds and stems and whatever else you're going to put in there. And that was a lid of weed. And I just did a lid of weed, and now you know what a lid is. The shit you could learn here is unbelievable, honest to God. Now, I want to talk about something. I didn't really want to go that way. I didn't want to go that route because I have something to tell you, something that literally I'm lucky to be here today. That's as clear as I can say it. I'm lucky to be here right now, able to talk to you. And I enjoy talking to you. I really do, because I know you're out there. I can create my own little world. Everybody can create and be the master of their own reality. Whenever you're overloaded, you go somewhere and you create your own reality. You lock your doors, you go in your house, you create it, and that's what will sustain you. That's what I do. That's what Norm Augustinus does. That's me. So recently, I had a chick come over from an Amazon Prime truck. And this is not a manufactured thing. It's impossible to manufacture anything I say. You know it's not possible. You know I can't be reading this. This is shit that's happened, and I save everything. I've done it since I was a fucking kid. I save everything that ever happened to me. I don't know why. Don't ask me why. I don't know why. I remember once a fucking guy across the street came over to my mom's house, and he said, you know, Norman is out in the street at 4:30 in the morning. He worked for Salfridge Air Base in Mount Clemens. He was had a classification and everything. And he came over and he said, you know that your son or Norman is out at 4:30 in the morning? I never forgot that. And I always wondered, why would he be watching me at 4:30 in the fucking morning? Why? Because I was attractive even then. And he was probably a fucking pedo or some shit like that. But he came over and told her that like he was trying to help her. But I made an impact on him that I was out at 4:30 in the morning. Well, why I was out at 4:30 in the morning was because we had a bar at the end of the street called Coachman's Lounge. And I figured out the perfect fucking thing. And that was when the people would come out of the bar and they were bombed, they were wasted, they were drunk. I figured they were probably dropping money all over the place. And I would go up there at 4:30 in the morning after they left and shit like that. And I'd start scanning the field that was around it. It had a lot of field around it then. It's not a field anymore. It's entirely a parking lot now, but it had a big field around it then. And I would always check the wind, and I'd say, which way was the wind blowing, or is it blowing? When they came out drunk, the money would drop, it would blow into these weeds, and I'd go there and look. And 9 times out of 10, I would find money. Even if it was just a fucking dollar. I mean, I remember that guy, that saying that, at that time, years and years ago. That's the kind of memory that I have. So, that was just an illustration. So, something happened to me with a Prime truck driver lady, and it's spooky. And when I say spooky, I mean that in actuality, everybody's really fragile. Human beings are super fragile. Men are very fragile. No matter how macho they talk, how tough they act, how they can endure anything, they can 10-degree, 20-degree weather out hunting with snowshoes. I've done stuff like that, what I'm talking about there, hunting with snowshoes on, even going to a mailbox with snowshoes on. They're very fragile in reality. And your correspondent is very fragile in reality. Now, something happened to me with this Prime truck driver who comes over. Now, a bunch of the Prime truck driver girls come over and they deliver packages. Women love this job, and why do they love the job? They love it because they're sitting on very manly made seats inside the Prime truck. Big springs, heavy duty springs, something they'd use in a tool and die set to keep that chair bouncing up and down. They like the job. That's one of the perks they get. And they can be their own boss. They're driving a box around. They got a box in there. They're cunts like a box. They're getting beat off by the heavy duty springs and the chairs of the Amazon Prime truck. They drive around all over the place. And because they do, they're exposed to more men that might be home. If they're home, they can go to the door. Now, unlike you, I'm super ballsy. I don't really fucking care if some chick says to me, I don't want to pump you. I don't want to ball you. I don't want to hump you, whatever it is. And if they say that, I say, that's great, fine. But that's not entirely true. They do want to ball you. Even though she said she didn't want to, even though she acted like she was put off, she's going to get back in the Prime truck and she's going to be very, very turned on that I asked her if she wanted to ball. I'll straight out ask them. I mean, if you were here right now and you brought your bitch over, I would find a place when she's up at the refrigerator and she's making herself a fucking martini or something. I would say to her in her ear, do you want to hump me? Do you want to screw? I get a very big dick. I could probably almost knock you unconscious when I start banging you out from the rear. From the impact of my hips and shit hitting the lower part of your spine, that kind of shock treatment to the spine shorts out the mind and you'll probably pass out. I've had it happen a million times. I just don't care. Life is too fucking short. I'm not going to go around being dainty and never getting bald, never getting screwed and not talk to any chicks. I just ask them if they want to fuck. Now, you should do that too, because understand, the woman you're afraid of asking, she just whacked off today. She's whacked off 2-3 times today. She whacked off at work. She whacked off that morning. She's fucking pumping her goddamn pillows. You know this is true. So why would you be afraid to ask her when she finally gets the real deal, a real dick? She's going to say yes, almost always in every instance. So the prime truck driver, I told you why they like to do it. Prime truck, and I've talked about this and joked about this. I one time said that Prime had the words rim me in it, and someone wrote me from Prime because some bitch turned me in. This was years ago. And said they preferred I didn't bring up the word Prime and talk about being rim me in it. And it is. I mean, that's one of their doubt. That's one of their things they regret, that Prime has the word rim me in it. Rim me, it's a chick fucking driving a truck. It's like she's advertising for you to rim her. And a P in front of the Prime, the rim, the Prime, the P for pussy, pussy, rim me. It's in Prime. Look at it. You can clearly see it in a Prime truck. So I get a knock at the door. I don't know how early it is. As usual, I'm either smoking dope or on my bed with my big dick out. You could think that was perverted, but you wouldn't think it was perverted if you had a 15.5-pound dick. It's an anomaly. It's like a zoo attraction, honest to God. And I myself marvel at it when I see it. And it's fucking, it's 14.5 pounds. It's 15.5 pounds. It's 14.5 inches. And I check it all the time because I want to see how badly I'm decaying, the decay rate. And that's how you check the decay rate of your carbon unitness on this planet. So I'm in my room and I got my dick out and I'm smoking dope. I got the mirror pole on. All across my walls, I've got all kinds of 8x10s, 8.5 bar. I think they're 8x10s photos, black and white photos of chicks who did porn early in the early days of porn when they really looked like goddamn women. And they weren't trying to fucking take over thing with their straight goddamn hair and their black rings around their eyes, fucking vampires or whatever they are were now compared to then. So I get a knock at the door. I'm not expecting anything or any package, but the minute I get a knock at the door, I have a bread basket near the left of the door, and I always keep a gun in that bread basket drawer. And I don't want to talk about the gun that I keep in there, but it's a gun that's so powerful that as big as I am, 6'2", 175, I honestly will admit that I have trouble pulling the trigger on the gun. That's how powerful it is. And I always go for the bread basket in the door if someone's there. I don't know who's going to be at the goddamn door. I don't know what I might have said to annoy somebody. I don't know what woman who's pissed off with me fucking and her husband and all kinds of shit, some scorned idiot that's at the door. But I will not hesitate to put one right between her or his goddamn eyes. I'm not shitting you. I spent 18 months in fucking Vietnam, two tours in Vietnam. You're listening to a guy who used to jump out of a Huey helicopter at 300 feet. Now, we always kept him low because of rocket launchers and all that shit, bazookas. And 300 feet, I would jump into fucking rice paddies and fuck everybody in a rice paddy. And I still had the ability to measure, to meter my jism so that the jism wouldn't come out in the first load. I have that kind of control. I can control the portions of jism that come out of my cock just with mental thoughts, just with mental ability. I pump one and I run to another and I run to another and I run to another. Now, when I'm getting low, I know when I'm getting low. That's how sensitive my bag is, how closely associated my subconscious and conscious mind is, my sex module in my brain. I can control all that stuff. So I know what I'm fucking talking about. I have true experience. They used to jump out of fucking helicopters and they would run because they knew the dick was coming. El Gapo, they called me. That was the big dick man. That's what the Vietnamese used to call big dick. I'm not saying it right anymore. That they used to run, man. It was a tidal wave in a rice paddy. All the goddamn rice flying all over. It was like we were getting married, man. You know how they throw rice at people? They're getting married. It was the same fucking thing. Rice was in the air. It was like it was a big ceremony, a big goddamn adventure, a big fucking mitzvah. As I'm running through the goddamn, this goddamn rice paddies and all the rice is going over. My cum's bubbling. The pussies are running. There's nothing better than running pussy. One of the top names. This is no shit. In the Apache, in the fucking Cherokee Nation, honest to God, one of the top names they would give women, you're going to think this is funny, was Running Pussy. Running Pussy. You know why that was one of the top names, Running Pussy? Because even fucking today, every goddamn man everywhere likes the idea of running pussy. The pussy's running, she's turned on, she's excited, her heart's really racing, the pussy's there, she knows it's inevitable, she's going to take a dick. Look at Running Pussy go. Now, As I was there in the bedroom, there was a knock at the door, and I take the gun next out of the bread box, and I'm ready to fucking launch somebody into the other dimension, the other parallel universe, or wherever we're living. I'm ready to launch them, help them out if it's something bad. When I open the door, it's a good looking Prime Driver woman. Now, one that you would never think would have sex. One that you would never believe would ever dump out 26,000 pounds of fecal matter by the time she's 81. See, that's how it works, how it really works in our world, in our universe, in our dynamics, whatever we've created here. You can't actually believe she could pump out 26,000 pounds of fecal matter by the time she's 81 and is going to, because something happens when you interact personally, when you're in close connection, close contact, proximity with a woman. You don't think about the 26,000 pounds of fecal matter. You don't think about the 14,000 gallons of urine. You don't think of that 500 pounds of maxi pads filled with blood dumped in the landfills. You don't think about that there when they're standing there. Now, that's how I look at this woman at the door, and I've had intercourse with her before. And I'm kind of glad she's over, because I've had intercourse with her before, and she's not delivering a package. She is delivering her torso, and I am there with my cock. It's just two people going to have sex, speaking the international language of love. A friend of mine named Steve Toth, years and years ago at a university I went to, Steve told me when he went and fucked all these women, and he was over there in a red light district in Amsterdam. I said, how'd you fuck him, Steve? I told you that at one time I was stupid about women. I didn't know shit about them. I thought they were this beautiful thing that wanted to help you, that wanted to nurture you, that loved you, that would protect you through all storms. And I got older and realized that was all bullshit. I had been conned by the fucking media, the people that sell women's products and sell women, that I had been bullshitted by all this stuff to believe they were that, so that I'd marry them and pump out more product that they could sell to. I'm talking about kids that these commercials could sell to. So she comes in the door and I say, hi, how you doing? Now let's call her Mary Beth. Let's call her Mary Beth. How about that? This is 100% true. Mary Beth comes to the door and she wants to screw. And she feels a slightly different, slightly askew. But that happens. I mean, they're out in a prime truck. They're all revved up. They're all wound up. They're gobsmacked by the realities of life. They can't pay bills anymore. They owe 100 fucking grand. They're getting shit repoed. They can't make their car payment. And they're gobsmacked wondering, what's the point of everything? But now they're changing. Now they want you again to pay their fucking bills. I don't know any man that would ever hook up with any woman to pay her bills. I'm not ever paying anybody's bills, any chick's bills. Chicks are too fucking easy. Why do I want to pay their goddamn bills? How much you owe a month? $3,000? No problem. How much you got to fucking pay for that? How much you got to go in for your pussy for an exam? Another $2,500? No problem. I'll pay. I'm not paying for none of that. I'm sure you're not either. Not ever. And I advise you not to. That's what they call a slippery slope. You're never going to get out of that fuck stick. It's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And you're going to owe everything that she owes all out of the idea that you think she loves you. She doesn't love you, man. She's not ever going to love you. Not today. Not tomorrow. Not ever. That's just the way it is. They can't connect to you. They're performing with you. They are mental. They are a cluster. I think the clusters go like 1 through 4 or 1 through 8, something like that. Mental disorders on a female. Not ever. So you have to be prepared. You have to understand chicks like I do. And that's what I'm doing here with you right now, as I lay on this fucking fuck chair that I made for the chick that I used to hump with the one goddamn leg. Just a goddamn stump. It became an armrest. And she later referred to herself like that. I'm just the armrest, aren't I? She'd say on the phone. It was sort of hurtful and funny at the same time. Hey, don't worry about me. I'm just the armrest, aren't I? Yeah, you were the armrest. Your stump was there. It was in perfect alignment with my arm. And I did lay my arm there as I was fucking. I was like a low rider, like some black dude in Detroit low riding in a fucking Detroit slump, they call it. It's when you're really turned to the right, your body, and you got one wheel on a steering wheel. They call that the Detroit slump. It's the funniest thing. It's been around forever in Michigan and in Detroit area especially. So, she used to say, you just think I'm the armrest. You think of me as the armrest. Even at Christmas time, I'd say armrest and put her last name in it. It was sort of funny that it become an armrest. I mean, those are the things you remember in life. And you'll always remember, even on your deathbed, you'll remember the armrest. You remember the fucking chair you built out of steel with a stick welder so you could fuck the armrest. You remember shit like that. You remember people coming over wanting to fuck you. You remember those moments, and those will really keep you going till you croak out. So she comes in, Mary Beth, I said I'd call her. It could be her name, but not, it might not be either. She comes out of the hub, the distribution center, just out of upper northern Michigan area, out of the Grayling area. And she comes in and she says, hi, what are you doing? Now, unlike me, they'll say stuff like that. What are you doing? And if you ever encounter that. And I just said right away, you want to get it on? How much time you got? I think I said how much time you got first. Then I said, you want to get it on. Now, I'm expecting my friend to come over, and his name is Ross. And Ross I've known since college. He was the greatest fucking guy you ever saw. I saw pictures of myself once walking with him on the side of the highway at a university I went to once called Ferris State University, and someone had snapped pictures of us with a big fucking two cases of beer. Big cardboard, heavy cardboard boxes, two cases of beer. Someone had snapped a picture of us on the side of the road in Big Rapids, and I saw that. That's the kind of relationship I had with him. He was in pharmacy, really just a bright guy. So he's coming over, and I'm expecting that him that day, the day that this Mary Beth came over. Mary Beth says, "Hi, yeah, that'd be great. Could I come over?" Now, she can stall in a truck. It's an old trick that they have, and you should know this trick in case you ever get any pussy from an Amazon Prime truck driver. You have to let the air out of one of the tires. We always use the front right tire. You let the air out of the tire, and it activates a dispatch, the dispatcher at the fucking, at the office in Grayling, and that dispatcher's notified that the truck is out of order, and they got like 40 minutes to take action, but they have 40 minutes offline then where they don't have to do anything. Now they can just take dick. So I say, "Yeah, let's go in the room. Let's fuck around." And I say, "You want some weed? What do you want? Xanax? You got what kind of shit you want? Tylenol, Xanax, blood pressure pills, morning after pills, Valium. I got all kinds of shit. You want to smoke some weed? You want to drink some fucking Budweiser? I got Budweiser in glass bottles." I remember saying that to her clearly because she always lit up on Budweiser in glass bottles. It's just fantastic compared to anything in plastic. I mean, come on. So we go into my room, where I got the mirror ball going, where I was just laying out there with my meat, and I'm reminiscing about my meat and stuff like that. The fucking mirror ball going on, all these 8x10 photographs, and my room was super cool. I mean, if you were there, even though you're not a fruit, you'd probably want to fuck me because that's the way the room is set up. You can feel the vibe of heavy meat in there, the heavy meat vibration that's in the room. And walls and things, they hold vibrations of past events. And all the times that I fucked and stuff, all those vibrations are in the trees. I hate to think that because trees were living things and they're now the walls in my room and they're being exposed to pornography all the time. And this was such a great thing, man. It took in all kinds of stuff like carbon dioxide and turned it into oxygen. They're great filters. They're wonderful for the ground. This fucking thing was great. And then somehow I got a hold of it, or with the walls and shit, the construction of the house, and now it's exposed to nonstop fucking, nonstop moaning, nonstop trembling hips, nonstop fucking squirts of ejaculation out of chicks' pussies and cum shooting to the air and dilated eyes. The trees and the walls were too good for this, but I can't do nothing about that. I can't rip the walls out. I put the fucking planks, the 2x4s, the 4x6s, the 2.5x2, the 2x12s and shit like that to joist. I take them out and put them back in the ground and try to regrow them. I can't. Man, well, they say that ship has sailed. So Mary Beth comes in, and I do the same thing I always do to them. You start playing with her tit, and I always go for the right jug. You go for the right jug, you start massaging the right jug. And why do you want to, I'll massage any jug I want to. I'll go to the left melon. Why do you need to go to the right melon? Because the right melon is always sort of like pointing somewhere else, like it's in alignment to the arm. I don't know what it is, but the right jug is like in alignment with her arm, and that whole alignment seems to lead to your dick. You can get this vibration, this feeling, this fucking mechanicalness of it. I always go for the right jug. I start massaging the right jug. The nipple starts to grow. The areola starts perking up. The hairs in the areola, they start fucking kind of bouncing around. It's like a dance floor, the areola on a chick's breast. It's like a big fucking disco dance floor, and there's hairs in it and shit. Once she's turned on, the hairs and stuff start moving around on the areola, also known as the dance floor, and it starts moving around, and you start getting her going that way, and that's always what I do. Your fucking sister was with me. I'd go for a right breast every time. I'd move over to the left breast. But the right breast is where I always start. There's all kinds of reasons for it. And it's related to divining rods and finding water with divining rods and sticks and all kinds of things that I could talk about, but I can't talk about now because I just don't have the goddamn time. I'm such a font of information, so packed, fucking chocked full of shit that I've done. I got a limited time of life left, and I got to get this shit out before I go because I've helped so many goddamn people again and again and again struggle through the idiocy of being with a woman. Once you know how simple they are, once you realize how biological they are, they're just this mammal that repeats and rinses and repeats. You understand now you've got the secret. You're like a magician. And once you have the secret, you're in. You get it all. You understand it, man. Now let me take a breath here. I can adjust myself. I had to take a breath because sometimes I won't breathe. And I literally have passed out. One time when I was on this chair, I fell asleep. I'm shit you not. Years ago doing a recording, one of these recordings, I fell asleep while I was laying on the sex chair that I made for the stump lady, and I also known as armchair, as armrest. I made it for armrest, and I fell asleep on this chair, and I fucking was recording like for 18, 19 minutes. Believe it or not, it was one of the most popular recordings I've ever done, and I didn't do much for 18 minutes. You could hear the fucking weed burning in the fucking brass tray I have that I put the weed on. You could hear that paper burn. You could hear the crackling sound of the Nag Champa incense burning, but you couldn't hear me. Now, I don't know what that meant. Was that good that I was not talking? I'm not sure, but I did fall asleep. So she asked me to come in. I take her to the room, and I already know what's going to go on. I can feel my heartbeat going up, my respiration. Your subconscious is ultimately the director of any sexual action. You think of the subconscious. It has been in our mind and developed by God or by whoever it's been developed by a zillion years ago. It's completely perfected from the ground up, the subconscious. The subconscious of your mind runs the sexual package in your mind, runs all the sexual things in your mind. Stop fucking thinking so much and just act, because your subconscious knows what to do. She wants meat, and you've got to meet. You want her mouth, your prong in her mouth. She wants to put the prong in her mouth. You don't fight shit. You go with it. You glide with your subconscious the same way that I'm sitting here laying back in this fucking reclining fucking chair that I guess I could name armrest. An armrest reclining chair for Stumpy, who had one goddamn leg. I just couldn't get into it. You think it sounds sexy. You think, wow, she's standing in front of you. It doesn't look right. Your mind, which is, again, your subconscious, goes back and it out compares the female body. A billion instant pictures in your mind of what the female body should be. And your mind is sort of warning you, hey, this isn't right. She's wounded. She's mutated. I can't get into this. It doesn't seem like a good fit for you. Is there going to be a pregnancy out of this? Is she somehow maimed? Is her DNA fucked up? Your mind can't match up a picture when you're looking at a one-legged woman standing there, even if she had big jugs and stuff like that. I used to have her stand by stuff so that I'd only see one leg, like she was hidden the other leg behind something. So when I showed people a picture, she didn't see the one leg. It could sound crude and back in disorderly kind of backwoods, but it wasn't. It really helped me to kind of get closer to her, thinking there was a leg there. So I get Mary Beth into bed, and I'm on the bed, and I start playing with the right breast. It's something, some dynamic about the right breast. I read something years ago about the right breast. It had something to do with the way you would move these. They were comparing the tits to dials, like a safe dial. And you had to turn the safe dial certain ways. You had to approach the dial a certain way. You had to move it in certain ways. Both the safe dials, it's like a double dial safe. You had to move them a certain way so that it would guarantee that the bottom cash register door would open up, which is your cunt. The safe dials, the door would open up. You could get down there. You fucking took two fingers in her cunt and you got them slightly bent and shit. And you're doing them, you know, when you're standing and stuff or trying to cram them in there. I read this a long time ago, and it really made sense to me, and I kind of kept it in the back burner, and I use it every time. I can't remember exactly why I use the right breast, but it works every time. I've never had one chick. So I'm on the bed. When I'm on the bed, because I got no pants on now, she sees my dick, and Mary Beth knows my dick. Now, please don't think of this as some kind of fruit thing. I hope you can handle this as a man, because you've been in the same situation. There's no upsell into the fruit land or no goddamn trade-off or no fucking conversion process happening here. This is just what fucking happened with regards to my dick. When she sees my huge dick, it's my Louisville Slugger. I call it the mini Louisville Slugger, my dick. That's a baseball bat. They used to give them away when you went to the Detroit Tigers game. If you're one of the 1,000 or 2,000 people who came into the stadium, you get a mini Louisville Slugger baseball bat. And that's what I have, my Abraham Lincoln fucking beaver buster that I have in my pants. When she sees it, she becomes overwhelmed. An immediate flushing happens on her chest. Now, you should look for that. If you ever see red flushing, red blotches on their chest, they're so goddamn turned on they can't think, man. It's like you're looking into a fireplace that needs to be stoked, and it needs more coal, it needs more fucking wood, and that wood is your dick that you're going to put in your goddamn lower oven that feeds that fucking furnace up near your chest. You're seeing these flickering flames out the window of a fucking wood stove. You ever see wood stoves with a glass panel? It's like that, man. You're being privy to this fucking fire going on inside of her, these flames, these red big blotches. So I get on my back, and I want her to ride me. I want her to ride me. Now, why do I want her to ride me? Why would you want her to ride me? Because you want to watch her stunned face. You want to see the heart of darkness. You want to see her travel back 50,000 fucking years, and you want to see her face, what it looks like when she's taking a fucking stump up her fucking crap or up her pussy. When she's taking this mammoth fucking log, which is my cock, you want to see the face, man. It's going to send her way back, and you're going to get a chance to see what she really looks like. Not the person that's standing at work. Not the person that's saying, how's your day? How's your fucking weekend? You get to travel way goddamn back now. Now it can kind of make sense. 26,000 pounds of fecal matter, 14,000 fucking gallons of urine, and you're looking at that face. It becomes this big, nutty, organic mess, and you're a part of it. Now, when she gets on top of me, she says to me this, and I like this sometimes, but I don't like the repercussions of it. You know the repercussions of it. She said, I'm going to move my torso up to your face. I said, okay, yeah. That sounds great. You can move your torso up to my face. I'm not big on eating people out. I said to her, Mary Beth, I'm not, you know that I'm not big on eating women out. The amount of the odors, it can take you away like you're an LSD. Honest to God, it can trip you out like that. The stink, all the skin, all the sweat, all the liquids, all the hairs. It's all something bad. Like you were abducted as a child, and you can't, this is the only scenes you imagine in your mind when it happened as they were banging you out in the back seat. All the fucking hairs, the sweat, the darkness, the moaning, the sounds, the brake sounds, the distant flashing lights in the goddamn trunk and all that. It's like that when they climb onto your face. So she climbs onto my face. I smell perfume, and I kind of like it because the perfume and all that. She was in her work outfit. It's like, in my mind, in the mind of Norm Augustinus, I think this. Wow, man, a corporation, billions and billions of dollars they make, this big Amazon Corp, here's their fucking, their representative in front of me. She got an Amazon outfit on, her Amazon shorts. She's been sitting in that bouncing seat. She's so wet she can't stand it. She wanted to stop at the great Norm Augustinus' house and get dicked. All that you got to admire, and it will really get you going. Now, when she moves her hips up to my face, I forgot Mary Beth's pussy was very meaty. It's a really meaty pussy. It's got big fucking flaps. Now, I know an Indian up here, upper northern Michigan. It's an Apache tribe. This, you're going to think this is bullshit. It's an Apache tribe. Her name is Running Flaps. They call her Running Flaps. I've become friends with her because her pussy lips are so big, they're like half of pancakes. Try to think of fucking pancakes. You go to the pancake house and you ask for large pancakes. I don't know what they call them, silver dollar pancakes or some shit like that. And you cut the pancakes in half and you hang them from her inside of each, inside of off her cunt. She had big fucking pussy flaps like that. Running Flaps does, the Apache. I'll talk about her again because something happened with her recently, but not, I can't do it in this recording. So she had big fucking meaty flaps, Mary Beth did. It reminded me of Running Flaps, big meaty flaps. She's sort of making sounds. She's looking for solace out of the world that's gone crazy and is all backwards. And she thinks fucking is organic and she can go back and go travel back the organic times, organic fucking organic play, just two people and fluids and liquids beating hearts. I mean, between the two of us, we've got 3 gallons of blood there together doing this act, fueling us to do this act. I know what she wants. I don't think of it as the same, but I know what she wants. I know what she's trying to do. Now, when Mary Beth lowers her torso onto my face, she's got powerful thighs and shit from doing all the Amazon work, powerful thighs. When she lowers her thighs past my face cheeks, I can feel wetness. It's either perspiration or it's her cunt dripping, and I've had lots of chicks' cunts are dripping. You won't believe this because they will never tell you this, but almost every day of the year, A chick's pussy is wet for some reason. Every day of the year. You're hearing it? Honest to God, it's absolutely true. Look it up. See if AI tells you that any kind of truths at all. It seems unlikely. But every day of the year, they're wet. So I thought, is she perspiring? Is her pussy dripping? I guess this is nice. She's going to try to come on my face or move her torso back and forth and incite an orgasm in her own body. She's turned on. She's looking down on me, looking at my thick, rich, beautiful hair, realizing she's with me. And, you know, just where she's looking, I got all kinds of porn pictures there, old vintage 60s and 50s porn, even 40s porn pictures, 8x10. She's looking at that and using these in her mind for something that she's doing. I mean, where else could she go? Think about where she stopped. This ain't a fucking dope dispensary in my house. She stopped here because she can get what she needs here, because when you walk into this place of Norm Augustinus, you're either fucking, you're either smoking, you're either drinking, or you're shooting, or we're out in the Argo Frontier. That's a six-wheel all-terrain vehicle that I have that I fixed from 1959. It's a magnificent machine. That's what you're doing. And I'm not going to do much more. I'm not going to stray far off the realities that I'm embedded into, that I'm ingrained into, that I've been engulfed by. So she lowers her torso onto my face. It's like a perfect fit. And she slowly starts. I never go this deep. Because I don't want to have a lot of bitches at my house wanting this. Unless you're Irish. If you're a size 3 Irish chick with white skin, man, looks like fucking construction paper, looks like laser printer, you can come by here. You've got real orange hair and it's not ever been poisoned by dye. You can come by here. I say that in every fucking recording. It's true. I don't want no fatties. I don't want nothing like that. Fatties, no chicks with ironed hair, no Kim Kardashian wannabes. I want the real fucking thing. And that's an Irish chick. They're the real X-Men of this fucking world, man. They're the X-Men. You don't know how lucky you are to see these people. They're only here a short while and they're out like a fucking flash, man. So she lowers her pussy onto my face. Now here's the part that became horribly creepy, because I have a slight touch of asthma. Slight touch of asthma. I can change the tune of my voice will change easily. It'll go up a couple octaves or go down a couple octaves. If I've been smoking and shit and drinking, I have a voice that's very sensitive to that, but I have a very beautiful voice. And, you know, it's to be acknowledged as such. And I would appreciate that if you would acknowledge that. So she lowers her torso onto my face like she's lowering her torso onto a cock. It's that sensitive, that gentle. And it's wonderful. It's lowering her thing. I'm a part of this chick. I mean, for her to still be here, her family, I don't tell you Mary Beth, but I can't tell your last name. For her family to be here, it's from thousands of years ago. It means that her family endured all kinds of plagues and pestilence, all kinds of trouble and global tragedies, and they still kept coming, her family, and she's still here in 2026. And that's got to say something about her. You're kind of lucky to be with a strain that's still here, this pure that keeps on going. And I feel privileged. I feel honored. Until she lowers her pussy onto my face super hard. Have you ever had that happen? I mean, super fucking hard. Like a drawer that you would close and it has an external latch. Like it's a meat locker or at a meat store, and they open those doors up and they're refrigerated and they drop that door and they close that door and it closes by itself. You hear this big clunking locking sound that can be only opened by pushing something from the inside. That's what it was like when she lowered her face and her hips onto my face. Now she's got her hips on my face and she starts pushing harder and harder. It pussy is so big, so meaty, it's covered up my nose hole and my complete mouth is covered. So I'm tapping her on the back. That's supposed to mean, you know, that's like a safe thing, a safe not name. Give me the safe word or whatever it is. But this isn't a safe word. This is me tapping her on her back. This is me being humanity saying, I'm having trouble right now. I'm tapping her on the back. And she doesn't move. She keeps pushing down and pushing down. So I start tapping her on her fucking thigh, the thigh that's bent at the knee that's next to each side of my body. I start tapping her thigh because why? Because I can't get any air. I can't fucking breathe, man. I literally could not breathe. At first it was funny. At first it felt, what a great seal. It was a hermetical seal. It's just like a cock going into a hole. The pussy hermetically seals the cock around the cock to seal it. That minge clutches down on it to seal it, to keep out any other intruders, to keep out anybody that shouldn't be there. Keep them out and fuck this dick and get the cum out of it. It's going to work it. That's why the pussy seals around the cock. A hermetical seal. Well, that's what her pussy did. It's over my nose and my mouth. I can't breathe. Well, it got so bad that I start kicking. I tried to kick her off me. I couldn't kick her off me. I don't know why, but I could not kick her off me. I bucked my hips. I kicked my legs. The fucking chick acted like she wanted to kill me. Now, who'd want to take out Norm Augustinus? Nobody that I know of. I am beloved in all fucking nations, in all seven continents. Who would want to take me out this way? But that's what I'm starting to think. And I reach to the right, honest to God, looking for a gun. I usually keep a gun there at the side of my bed. There's one in the bread box near the front door. There's one in the Argo Frontier. There's one in the fucking ultralight aircraft that I have. I always keep a fucking gun there, and I'm looking for a gun because I can't get her off. And this feels like it's premeditated. It feels like it's out of control. Like she has a definite desire, a definite mandate to snuff your correspondent. I'm trying to find a gun because I will blow the side of her brains out. Nobody takes me out prematurely if I can do something about it. You have to fight back. You can't be taken down and down and down and never fight back. I mean, come on. Where's the real you? I don't find no gun. There's no gun. I can't kick her off. She's on top of my... I don't know why this is going on. Bad day at work, a bad day in the truck. I don't know what really is going on. And I'm trying to kick her off. I even take my both of my hands, and I'm trying to pull my head to the right so I can get some air by the ear. And I shouldn't pull on my ears because I've had ringing ears on and off all my life, even as a kid. I take my right ear, and I'm pulling it to the right, and I hear it pop as I'm pulling it to the right, trying to pull my own fucking head out from under her goddamn pussy, and it's getting real bad. I hope you can feel the urgency. It's so bad that I'm doing this. Let me grab something here. I don't know if I can do it without this. It's so bad that I take whatever I can, and I'm doing this. I can't breathe! I can't breathe! That's me yelling, I can't breathe, again and again, and I mean... It then it went past I can't breathe. It went to, ah, ah. It went to that because I couldn't fucking breathe. I mean, literally couldn't breathe when you're thinking about how dainty a chick is. When you let your guard down one fucking second and I'm doing that goddamn screaming. The can't breathe, I realized, made no sense. She wasn't getting off me. She was either going to get off or come or whatever it was. I just kept doing this. Ah, ah, ah. Into the fucking cloth that I was grabbing, trying to fucking get this to stop. I had to yell like that in the cloth here, but I didn't yell in the cloth there. And then suddenly I hear pounding at the door. When I hear pounding at the door, this is no shit. When I hear pounding at the door, only thing I can think of is it's my friend Ross, who I've known for years, since university. He's at the door, so I start to screaming fucking more. Now, I'm going to put this over my mouth so I don't blow the microphone out on this fucking Electrete or condenser mic from this TRS-80 tape recorder. I start yelling, just like that, again and again and again. Then I hear the door open up. When I hear the door open up, I start to screaming even louder. I can't breathe. I haven't breathed. I'm sure that brain damage is happening right now. I'm positive that I'm taken out, that I'm going to be taken out by this chick. And it was all under the assumption that we were just going to have fun sex when she was the Amazon driver. We were going to fuck and stuff like that. It wasn't like that at all. It went horribly fucking bad. I'm screaming at the top of my voice. And as I'm screaming at the top of my voice, I suddenly feel the load get lighter on my face. I feel the load get lighter, she's lighter, and I can get air. She's like shifted off of me. And then I feel a shitload of goddamn water, and I feel things moving on me. A shitload of water, things moving on me. I can breathe again. When I can breathe again, I go, I mean, that's pretty much 100% true, but it was only way worse. Think way worse, fuckstick. And when I realize this, that my friend Ross, who I've known since university, he fucking dropped a 5-gallon fish tank on top of her head.
Get off of him, you ugly whore.
I had a 5-gallon fish tank out in the living room. He picked the fish tank up, and he just let the fish tank go, the 5-gallon tank. The bottom of the tank hit her head and collapsed, completely caved in. The glass just broke out, and her whole head went inside the fish tank, and when it did, she fell to the side and onto the floor. But he dropped the fish tank on her goddamn head. I had some beautiful fish in there. Fish that I've had for freaking years, honest to God. I had some couple algae eaters that were really long. An algae eater that was so big, he couldn't fit in the tank. He'd gotten used to the idea that he had to bend himself in half to live in that tank. That's because you have to be flexible in today's world, and he was flexible. Be flexible or die, I guess, whatever the fuck it is. Another fish in there, too, that I just adored, but they were all on a bed. Now, when I got up and I was gasping for air, there's glass all over. She's on her side. Unconscious, I start trying to collect the fish, and I'm running to the kitchen fish tank with my dick out with Ross in the goddamn room, and I kept thanking him and thanking him and thanking him. I said, oh, my God, Ross, I was about a second away from fucking death. You saved my life, man. You saved my life. And then I went up and hugged him. I'm soaking wet. And I'm hugging him with a 15.5-pound dick dangling just below my belly button. I mean, that's a little bit off. 14.5 inches fucking long, 15.5-pound dick. I know it's 15.5 pounds because I weighed it in my friend's fucking cocaine scale years ago, who used to sell coke on his kid's shoulders with these big flannel jackets. They go into the businesses, they'd hand him a little vacuum, battery-powered, they vacuum the coke off. It was a perfect fucking thing, perfect scheme in every way, and he never got caught. He just did, but he did die. Not because of coke. And it was a horrifying goddamn mess. One or two of the fish that I have still aren't acting right. They look like they weren't able to extract oxygen from water, so they might have got brain dead. I was looking at them, what was going to happen to me, which was I was going to die in that bed. I might have been dead in 3 more minutes had he not showed up. That's the second time he had helped me with regards to my life. And one other scene happened years ago when I was at Ferris State University with Ross, and that's an entirely different story that I can't talk about now, but I hope to one day tell you that story. But if you'd have seen the fish tank dropped on her head, it was like beautiful. It was like choreographed. He was like the ultimate fucking friend. I mean, do you have anybody that would do that? He didn't care about her health, what would happen. He just fucking dropped it on her goddamn head. And that was the end of her and her fucking pussy. She was like the salt monster out of the Star Trek episode, Nancy. Nancy the salt monster. She was going to fucking, I don't know, suck me dry with her cunt over my nose and my mouth. Now, that seemed on purpose, and it seemed uncalled for. But, man, when you... I saw that fish tank. When you saw that fucking thing drop out of nowhere, you didn't see Ross. You didn't see nothing, but suddenly a fish tank drops on her head and she falls to her side onto the floor. What else could he do? I'd have blown her brains out. I had the gun on the side of my bed. No problem. I wouldn't even hesitate it. Pardon me. Oh, fuck. And I'd do the same to anybody. Man, don't come into my fucking yard if you're fat. I will put one between your goddamn cross eyes. Don't come to my house. Now I got to say this new thing. Don't come to my house with the idea under the guise of having intercourse or sex or foreplay and try to snuff me the fuck out. I won't allow myself to be snuffed out. Just don't. It's a bad fucking scene, man. But I made it through. I made it another day. Your correspondent ain't going nowhere.
You've been listening to the one and only...
My dick is enormous. There is no escape.
We meet at the big clock. In cyberspace, it's dark out there in cyberspace. It's scary out there in cyberspace. You're out there in cyberspace. You're frozen with fear. You don't know what to do. You're looking up. You're looking down. You're looking to the right. You're looking to the left. It's windy out. You don't know what to do. You're frozen. Till eventually and quite abruptly, you hear this distant chiming clock in the background. And you follow the chiming clock until it gets louder and louder and louder, eventually bringing you upon this brightly illuminated place in cyberspace. There are thousands of people there. They're holding hands. They're smiling. They've been waiting for you. There's that thing that brought you to this place in the first place. It's a tower, 150 feet tall, brown bricks, tan mortar. Way at the top of this tower is a glass bezel. It's a clock. It's backlit. And above that is this chimey bell-like thing that brought you to this place in the first place. And you know why you're at this place in the first place. You're here to clear out your pains, your frustrations, your aches, your woes, your disappointments, your hurts. The person that died on you, the ramen noodles you're sick of eating, the credit cards you can't pay off, the apartment you can't pay for, the house you think you'll maybe never own, the bitch who left you, the guy who left you. You're here to clear all those pains and frustrations out. And how do we do that? Well, the moment you heard my voice, you were instantly and automatically filled up with this highly absorbent orange-colored solution. It's been inside your body sloshing about this entire recording. And now, at the end of this recording, we lie you gently down, we pop the corks in your toes, and all of that highly absorbent orange-colored solution comes gushing out of your body. Look at it. It's forming a small mini lake alongside you. It's orange-colored. It's rusty. It stinks. It's toxic. We shake your feet, getting out the last drops of highly absorbent orange-colored solution and replace the corks in your toes. You can't believe how good you feel. You feel like you can go on another second, another minute, another day, another hour, another year, maybe infinitely. It doesn't matter that a friend of yours is making $250,000 a year and lives in a million-dollar house. It doesn't matter that another friend of yours has got the best-looking bitch you've ever seen, or another friend of yours has the best-looking dude you've ever seen. None of that shit matters. All that matters is how good you feel right now. You know you can feel this good anytime you want to. Anytime you're in duress, anytime you feel like you can't go on another second, all you gotta do is think of the big chiming clock in cyberspace, where you meet your pal, your friend, Norm Augustinus. And instantly, and almost automatically, you'll feel refreshed and clear. You know the best part of this recording, the most important part of this recording, at least to me, is that for 1 hour, we were friends. Friend, I enjoyed myself. I hope you did too. Write me, normaugustinus@gmail.com.
Tune in again for another exciting episode from the amazing mind of Norm Augustinus.
Dear Maya, how are you? I hope this letter finds you happy and well. Maya, something happened to me the other day, and I thought I would send you an old-fashioned typed letter and tell you all about it. As you know, I like to walk everywhere. I do have a car, but if I can get out of having to drive somewhere, I will. Maya, I found something. Let me explain. While walking alongside Long Rapids Road, I came across what looked like the lower portion of a woman's body. When I got closer, I saw that it wasn't the bottom half of a woman's body, it was a pair of pantyhose. When I grabbed a hold of the pantyhose, I realized someone had stuffed dozens of pairs of women's soiled cum panties into each leg of the pantyhose. They even stuffed a shitload of soiled panties into the torso and butt area of the pantyhose. In case you are not familiar with pantyhose are an all-in-one piece of leg hosiery that women wear. They combine nylons with a panty and they call them pantyhose. Maya, I dragged the stuffed pantyhose creation to a nearby bench, and I slowly removed each pair of panties that were stuffed inside each leg of the pantyhose. Every pair of cum panties that I extracted from the pantyhose had a 2-inch in diameter hole bored into the rear end of the panty. There were thick, hardened cum stains embedded into the fabric of every pair of panty that I removed from the pantyhose. All the panties smelled like pussy, real bad. Some of the elastic waistbands were torn off the panties. When I was a kid, I would stuff pants and shirts for Halloween and connect the two halves and make a scary person that I would stand up on the front porch of my parents' house on Halloween night. My recent unusual stuffed roadside pantyhose find reminded me of the stuffed people I would make for the Halloween holiday. Maya, I dragged the stuffed pantyhose to a nearby stream, and I sat down on the shore of that stream, and I smoked some flour while I pondered what I'd actually found. Maya, I have come to the following conclusions. I believe a man with a big schlong, with a long history of fucking, had these pantyhose attached to his bedroom wall. The pantyhose could have also been hung behind his bedroom door. Whenever big schlong came across pussy, he would cram his cock through the back side of the woman's underpants while she was still wearing them, and he would ream out her tight shithole. When the man and the woman parted ways, the man would stuff her cum panties into the pair of pantyhose hanging on the wall in his bedroom. Eventually, both legs of the pantyhose and the torso area and ass area would be filled with women's cum panties. I think, or I know, that the dude that dumped the pantyhose on the side of the road bought a new pantyhose, and he is currently filling each leg of the hose with heavily soiled, pussy juice-soaked cum panties. The man also liked engaging in anal. There were 105 pairs of soiled pussy-smelling cum panties packed into the legs of the pantyhose, and every pair had a 2-inch in diameter hole blown into the ass end of the panty. Maya, I took the stuffed pantyhose to my house, and I hung it on the wall in my living room. It's a great conversation piece. It's like a giant hanging pussy air freshener. I hope that eventually I can add more panties to my pantyhose roadside discovery. I gotta go. I've got shit to do. Write back when you can. Love, Norman. P.S. I bumped into your big-titted little sister the other day when I came into town. Your big-titted little sister was attaching a huge American flag onto the flagpole that is in front of Hoagie World off Link Avenue. When your big-titted little sister saw me, she pulled off her hot pants and crotchless panties. When I got to her, I stuffed all 50 feet of flagpole rope into your big-titted little sister's tight fuckhole. When all the rope was packed inside her luxe pussy, I pulled the flagpole rope out of her gash, slowly sending her into a sexual frenzy. When the final foot of flagpole rope was extracted from her creamy snatch, she lied down inside the pressure-treated, handcrafted American flag storage shed next to the flagpole. While your big-titted little sister was lying down, she pulled off her halter topper and brassiere, and she pulled her legs back in anticipation of receiving my thunderous, cream-filled meat. While your big-titted little sister was on her back, I ate her out, and then I gave your big-titted little sister a rim job. While I was rimming your big-titted little sister's crater-like crap hole, a woman walked up to us, and she said,
I was traveling in a Greyhound bus to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan because I was invited to a barbecued American bald eagle cookout. But when I got a whiff of pussy, I got off the bus right quick, and I tracked the stench of pussy down to you two lovebirds. When I was your age, I could take 200 feet of flagpole rope in my pussy easily. Honey, you've got a sweet pussy. Tight and pink, shoot the cum down the sink. That was a popular phrase in the 60s. I've lived every day of my life by that motto, and it served me well. I fucked a skinny guy in the Greyhound bus. When I was done getting my cum tank refilled, I shoved him head first down the toilet. The toilets inside Greyhound buses are just like outhouses. They're just like something you'd find at a county fair. The skinny dude was floating in bus passenger shit up to his neck. He looked up through the opening in the toilet seat and he said, But I fingered you and I ate you out. What gives? The truth is, he wasn't my type, man. So what do you guys say? I want to be a part of this scene, man. I'll suck, fuck, and eat the both of you out if you do the same to me. I've got a pineapple grenade in my purse. After we rototill each other's genitals, let's drive to an ATM and pull the pin on this fucking grenade and party all night long with the handfuls of cash we earned. Let's fuck and run amok.
Attention shoppers, this is Baloney Pony, your Rare Finds and Exotic Treasure store manager. Ladies, please take a look at the store monitor closest to where you are standing in the store. What are you looking at? Well, I'll tell you. Girls, you're looking at a pair of old school pantyhose that are chock full of soiled cum panties. That's right, both legs of the pantyhose are packed with dozens of pairs of soiled cum panties. What's more, each pair of panties has an authentic 2-inch in diameter dick hole bored into the ass end of the panty. Why would you want a pair of decades-old pantyhose jam-packed with old cum panties? Here's why. The cum panties stuffed into these pantyhose were pulled from the teenage hips of very horny Japanese teenage girls. Secondly, the cum panties are embedded with thick, hard-shell, genuine jism stains. Thirdly, these cum panties are guaranteed to smell like powerful, mind-altering, early cave days, savage pussy, because these panties have been in close proximity to actual raw pussy. Ladies, when you buy this pantyhose. It will come to you looking like the bottom half of a woman's body. Missing ankles, socks, and shoes, of course. There will be hundreds of cum panties hand-stuffed into the pantyhose. Simply hang the pantyhose on a wall or from a ceiling in your den or living room. When your man comes home and he sees hundreds of pairs of gored cum panties stuffed into a pair of pantyhose, he'll pop a rod, most Ricky Tick. Men are turned on by pantyhose-wearing women. The pantyhose turns the woman's cunt stove on, and the pantyhose, full hosiery, locks in the woman's natural body odors. In the Victorian era, it took a woman 90 minutes to remove all her clothing prior to fucking. All that waiting got men wound up. Ooh-wee! Give me that pussy! Pantyhose causes the same sexual reactions in men today. Now imagine dozens of pairs of pussy-smelling, gored cum panties packed inside the pantyhose. When you hang this revolutionary pantyhose somewhere in your home, you will take the dick, it's guaranteed. It's like a 60s hanging incense burner, only you don't have to light it. It doesn't matter that your pussy has dried up and atrophied. You're not invisible anymore, honey. Ding, doom! There's something round and long at your front door. Answer the door, baby. He wants to come in your house. For only $59.99, you'll get one pair of pantyhose that comes complete with over 100 pairs of soiled and gored cum panties. For $10 more, we'll pre-pack your pair of pantyhose with the soiled cum panties and include a rope suitable for hanging your pantyhose anywhere in your home. You'll also get a free audio clip of how your conversation with your lover might go when he sees the pantyhose hanging from the ceiling in your bathroom. I'll play that clip for you right now.
What the fuck is that thing hanging in our kitchen?
It's a pair of pantyhose filled with a couple hundred pairs of soiled Japanese girl cum panties.
I'm so horny. I'm going to stab your cunt with my dick again and again until your cunt becomes unconscious and it needs CPR, and then I'm going to blow my cum load onto your miniature bronzed open coffin that contains an exact replica of what your dad looked like when you visited him at the funeral home.
All I can say is, wow! Who knows how your conversation will go? Live and learn! Girls, come on up to the counter right now and get your prick-getting pantyhose. On a side note, my assistant Mandy Phelps has just shit all over the dance floor located in the employee break room. My assistant was cleaning the tiny half-inch square mirrors on the 48-inch in diameter mirror ball when Josh Howlett from the maintenance department walked into the employee break room. Josh is known for wearing short shorts while he is working his shift. Mandy saw that Josh's enormous dickhead was poking out from his shorts. Miss Phelps saw the reflection of Mr. Howlett's bulbous dickhead in thousands of tiny half-inch square mirrors attached to the mirror ball. Ooh-wee! It was dick overload for Mandy Phelps. Her heart was thumping, baby. Miss Phelps has irritable bowel syndrome and she's extremely horny. When Mandy gets turned on, vaginal juices originating from her cunt drip down to her rusty asshole door hinges and her crap hole door swings open and Mandy Phelps forcefully shits. Employees here have a saying with regards to Mandy. When it drips, Mandy shits.
This is Mandy, motherfuckers. Mostly everyone around here knows me. I've been working at this department store for 7 years. So what? I shit onto the disco dance floor in the employee break room. When I saw Mr. Howlett's titanic-sized dick head sticking out of his shorts, it was like I had spider vision, thanks to the tiny mirrors on the mirror ball. I didn't see one dick head, I saw dozens of dick heads. I got so turned on I could actually feel the pupils in my eyes dilate. I'm so horny. I almost always have a nylon filled with hamburger crammed into my pussy. Dick is so comforting. One of the employees resting in the break room dropped a quarter into the jukebox and they played Everybody Loves Kung Fu Fighting. The heavy bass sound waves coming out of the speakers slammed into my clitoris and breast nipples, and I started bucking my hips while I was standing on the ladder. I shit. So what? Get a shovel and shovel it up. Baloney Pony has been my supervisor since I first started here. He knows I might shit myself at a moment's notice. I'm shitting right now, just talking about shitting. I'm so horny. I buy hamburger from the supermarket that's prepackaged in plastic wrap. I just drop that prepackaged roll of hamburger into my gaping cunt. I got a hole, you got the pole, let's get to fucking. That's my mindset. There was no danger. Only one person slipped and fell while walking walking on the dance floor because of my shit. But they made the best of it, and they started deliberately sliding across the floor on their stomach. It was like he was performing choreographed dancing moves you'd see on the street. It was exciting. Hello, bitch down there standing near the service desk. Yeah, up here. You've been looking up here at me since I started talking into this microphone. I hate your big-breasted, full-lipped guts. Your self-absorption and $300 makeup job has just given me a good reason to take everyone out in this store, starting with your hoary ass first. That Target shopping bag you're clutching onto ain't gonna stop a bullet. I want everyone in this department store to die right now.
Attention maintenance, please report to the employee break room. Bring mops, spray cleaner, comet cleanser, a pair of size 5 crotchless panties, a medium size yellow sundress, 2 or 3 spray cans of Screen Time in Paris air freshener, and a double-headed female cut and asshole vibrating dildo. The kind that is a single unit in the shape of a U, and a woman can insert it into both holes at the same time, and it can be left in these holes for up to 24 hours at a time. This has been Baloney Pony, your rare finds and exotic treasure store manager. That is all.
Fuck. 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 Fuck.
Women are constipated 3 times more than men.
When you're walking down the halls and your balls hit the walls, it's a rupture.
Dick!
If you enjoy Norm's show, please head to normaugustinus.com and make a financial contribution. It's our scene, man.